Welcome to episode 96 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brzeski. Alan Olson is in somewhere.
Back home in beautiful, lovely Minnesota.
Alan was here this weekend in Erie, and we played some golf, but that's all we plan to say about that. We played something resembling golf on the last day, because we were a little tired.
A little bit. What did we play? 94 holes?
Something like that, yeah. Vijay Singh probably had to play about 94 holes before he could make a putt inside of 8 feet. But still walks away with his first WGC championship, the WGC Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone. Phil Mickelson had the lead and went 3 over in the last 4 holes to blow it, including several shots wide left yet again.
Yeah, not exactly what you want to see from Phil the week before yet another major.
Is the wide left thing seems to be, you know, ever since I Am Such an Idiot back in 2006, that's his miss. Wide left. And all Butch Harmon says that they can take from it is that his misses aren't as severe. We even saw it at Colonial, under pressure, wide left.
Yeah, that's just his thing. It's just, it's the ghost of Wingfoot. It's just going to continue to haunt him.
Vijay Singh, I think he made something like 9 of 19 putts from 4 to 8 feet. Missed a few inside of 4 feet as well, and yet gets the win. But he said, I'm going with the belly putter. I'm going to stick with it. It's going to be in my bag. You'll never see me with another kind of putter. And yet, then fails to convince us whatsoever of his putting prowess.
What are the odds he makes it through all 4 rounds at the PGA Championship with a belly putter? I mean, the guy switches all the time, so. Eh.
He's committed to this one. I think this was the first week ever where the winner did not, you know, we talk all the time about how important putting is on the PGA Tour, and yet this week, the winner was perhaps, I mean, he was down at the bottom of the field as far as putting.
Well, the only good thing was that he had a decent enough lead and Phil falling flat on his face that he was able to pull it off even with his atrocious, almost looking like me putting.
Right. Well, congrats to Vijay Singh on his first WGC win. It's his something like his 20th win since turning 40 or something unreal like that. So way to go, old dude.
Congratulations.
Switching from an old Fijian to a young Hawaiian, Michelle, we played in the Reno Tahoe Legends something or other in Reno, Nevada. And aside from a 9 that she got on a par 4, played fairly well. She finished the first round tied for 77th, I believe, with a 1 over par, made a 9 on a hole, but otherwise did okay. It's still a PGA Tour event, so I don't know what she was looking to get out of it. I won't speculate. I don't know whether the week was a success for her or not. We may not know until she plays in the Canadian Open next weekend. What do you have to say about this performance?
Well, I mean, just for, you know, being able to watch a little bit of her first round, I mean, there's no doubt she's got talent. I mean, the short game shots that she was able to pull off from some of her misses were just really, really impressive. And other than the 9, I mean, she doesn't get the 9. She's, what, 4 over? I mean, so she's winning, you know,
right,
3-4 shots, you know, 4 shots of the cut line. Now, granted, it's, you know, not the PGA's heavy hitters out there, but nonetheless, pretty impressive, you know, with the exception right. of the 9, for the fact that she only plays, what, once a month, you know, right. as far as competitive golf goes. So, yeah, competitive, and, you know, hopefully this will be a good enough preparation for her for her next time out.
Yeah, this will be the springboard, hopefully, for golf fans. I mean, because, you know what, if you're a golf fan, you want this girl to succeed, I think. If you're a golf fan, you want a lot of people to succeed and play well. You want to see good golf, and in no way would you want someone who could be a catalyst to, you know, such big and great things, perhaps on the LPGA Tour. You don't want such a person to fall on their face just because of spite or something. So, you know, you want this girl to succeed if you're a fan of golf. And I think you and I are fans of golf, and we want her to succeed, and we're realistic about it. And the fact she's still 18, she didn't take the same road Tiger did. But, you know, as I've pointed out to some people, Ryan Moore won a lot of things as an amateur and has yet to win on the PGA Tour. So, you know, the Tiger route worked for Tiger, but it doesn't necessarily work that way for everyone else. So let's let this girl cut her own path and see where it takes her. You know, she very much probably would have won an LPGA event had she, you know, remembered to sign her scorecard. So,
yeah, and, you know, I think you already brought it up. You know, she's only 18. You know, let's talk to us
in 10 years, folks.
Exactly.
She could be in the Hall of Fame by then. We'll see. Yeah,
certainly has the talent to do so.
We'll be back after this.
I mark my tire list with a black line and a red line. Black dot over the 9.
A red line through the side stamp.
With a dot between the tire list and the number.
With Korean flag.
I mark my ball with a kangaroo. Does anybody else do it like this? Check it out.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball, it's how you mark your tie list.
How do you mark your tie list?
Welcome back. Our forum topic of the week is brought to us by DD Bodoin. He's asking, are you excited for the PGA? And for some reason, he doesn't get excited for this one at all. Quite honestly, I'm pretty excited. It's a major. It's a PGA. It's got a great history at the rate that the Masters is going.
Right. Well, and aside from the Ryder Cup, what do we have to look forward to the entire rest of the year?
PGA. I think it's a great tournament. They play great courses. Tiger's not, you know, obviously not there, so it's pretty wide open. So I think it's going to be a great week, and Oakland Hills is a fantastic course.
And this is my chance to plug the fact that I've played at Oakland Hills. I drove in the fairway in the first hole, hit a 7-iron to 15 feet, lipped out the birdie putt, reached the next hole, a par 5 and 2, two-putted successfully for my birdie, and announced at that point that the day was all going to go downhill from there, and proceeded to walk in from to the clubhouse. No, I didn't walk in, but it did go slightly downhill from there. So, I probably would have been leading the PGA Championship at that point if I had been playing.
And that would have been cool to see your name in lights.
You know, like I said, I'm excited because what the heck else are we going to do until April? You know, it's the final major. It's the final chance for somebody other than Tiger to win a major. Could it be, you know, very few players have the chance to overtake Tiger for player of the year. If Kenny Perry wins this, I say he is, although it's still a close race, even if he does. It's the last chance for a lot of guys to get Ryder Cup points and lock up their place rather than relying on Paul Azinger to pick them. Hunter Mahan may be one of those people that needs to lock up a place rather than get a pick. So I think there's a lot of little storylines going on. The Ryder Cup is some of it, but also, again, a Tigerless major, and who else will step up? I mean, Padraig Harrington, could he go for two in a row rather than two British Opens in a row? We'll see. There's a lot of storylines going on. So, you know, I'm excited. I like the course enough. So that's part of it. And I think a lot of guys, you know, we could see Anthony Kim. We could see a lot of guys in the mix this week that we've kind of been hoping for. Or right. We could see someone like Steve Jones. I mean, we'll see. I'm excited for the start of it. I may not be as excited at the end of it, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it's good golf. We've got some of the big names, and as well, you know, it's kind of fun to see how some of the, you know, the PGA pros do and things like that. So I think it makes for a good, compelling major. It's certainly better, I think, than some of the. I think everybody wants to kind of switch places with the Tour Championship, but I don't know. I think it's a good major, and hopefully it'll be a good week.
Right, and we'll be back after this with more.
I'm Mark Matalis with a VJ.
I mark my ball with the Greek symbol for courage, the lambda sign.
I throw my initials on it.
Three crosses around the script.
This is my boy's initials, TP.
I mark my Titleist with my initials, Ole and Orange.
For 20 years, a black dot over the T.
With three black dots.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your Titleist.
How do you mark your Titleist?
Colin Montgomery, a.k.a. Mrs. Doubtfire. There have been talk recently, even I think I saw, you know, the anonymous tour pro in like a Golf Week or Golf Digest or something talking about how there was an initial splash made with drug testing and not much has been done since. Well, that's apparently not true. Tim Clark, Colin Montgomery, a few others have been tested. So the testing is ongoing. Colin Montgomery is not pleased, called it a complete waste of time. Perhaps he was afraid of all the estrogen levels they'd find in him. I don't know. But drug testing is still going on. It's going to be going on, and players are going to be randomly selected.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we'll link to the story and you can read for it. But the headline, you know, Montgomery not pleased with post-round drug tests. Has the man ever been happy? Has he ever been pleased about anything?
He's been married like 8 times, so I'm guessing he's been happy about 8 times. In the evenings.
You know, it's just, you know, he comes out and says, you know, he didn't really know what the procedure was. Well,
he missed like the 8 memos they sent out, I guess.
Right. You pee in a cup, they test it, it's a done deal. It's not
they
really
get back
a big,
to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Not really a big deal, but.
Yeah. Opposite the events we're not talking about this week, oddly. Two majors, the U.S. Senior Open. Eduardo Romero won that, yippee for him, and some Korean gal won the Women's British Open. So not Lorena Ochoa, Annika Sorenstam, Paula Creamer, or someone, quite honestly, we care enough to talk about.
But congratulations nonetheless.
Because we didn't really watch it either. We were too busy playing 9,000 holes of golf. But Parker McLaughlin wins in the Reno Tahoe Open that we talked about with Michelle Wee earlier. It's his first PGA Tour win. It's also the second PGA Tour win in a row for the new Titleist 909 drivers. We'll have an article about those on the August 11th, so you can check those out. Parker McLaughlin closed, wins by 7 shots nearly equaling Tiger's 8-shot victory this year for the tour's largest margin of victory. Yay for him. I don't know. I still think opposite field events like this should maybe get you like a 1-year exemption. They're a little weak.
Yeah, I definitely agree with getting just the 1-year exemption for that. I mean, he shoots a 2 over 74, and he still wins by 7.
Yeah, not exactly a pressure-packed final round.
No, not at all. And you just look at some of the guys that, you know, that were in the leaderboard, and you go on. Other than watching Michaud, we just did not make for a compelling weekend. So
right.
We played 9,000 holes of golf instead.
Right. And finally, the USGA and the RNA have come together. The RNA, I believe, was holding this process up. This is big news. In like 16 years, the current irons that you have will no longer be legal. So we talked about before about the groove rule. It's actually in place now. And what it is the grooves are now going to be smaller and they're going to have less sharp edges, duller edges, if you want to say. But this rule will not take effect until January 1st, 2010. All clubs manufactured before then are okay. And all clubs that are the same model as one manufactured before then are also okay. So if you buy a club in March 2010 that's the same model as the previous models, you know, from the previous year, that'll still be okay. PGA Tour pros and the USGA events and RNA events that in which pros compete will enact the rule as a condition of competition in 2010. All the USGA's other amateur events will enact the rule in 2014. And by 2024, all players will have to conform to the rule in all clubs. We'll link to a couple sites that will give you more information on this. And I've said before that I think this is a good way to change up the bomb and gouge strategy, because if you change or make the gouge part less effective, people and players will have to change the bomb part.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, we've talked before about does the ball go too far? I mean, distance is kind of, I mean, they're pretty much at the point where they're not going to get that much more distance as far as that goes. But, yeah, I mean, if we can get to the gouge part to where you hit it in the rough, you get penalized for it, as opposed to being able to hit whatever and not having a problem with it, then, yeah, I think it's a good thing. And I'm just glad my level of competition, I don't have to worry about it for quite a long time.
Right. And see, I think what the groove rule change will do is make pros do one, two, or perhaps even three things. One, they will have to play perhaps a spinnier ball in order to get some of the spin they might lose back, especially on short shots, wedges and stuff, and near the greens. Two, they may have to rethink their strategy off the tee. They may have to, like, hit a 3-wood instead of a driver or not go 90% at the driver. They may gear back to 80% to try to keep the ball in the fairway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the third thing they may do is when they go into the rough, they may not be able to just attack the pin still. They may have to play more to the center of the green. You know, if they leave themselves a 30-foot putt instead of a 10-foot putt, you're going to see a lot less of the players, you know, making birdie from the rough. So I think they'll do one, two, or three of those things. You know, Tiger Woods already plays a pretty spinny ball, so he may not do that. And we've already seen him in several majors, 2006 at Hoylake, 2006 at Medina, 2007 at Southern Hills for the PGA. Gear back, hit woods, fairway woods, or long irons off the tee to get into position in the fairway, and then hit long irons, including, you know, 4-3 irons and stuff, into the greens. So he's already doing some of those things, and I'm guessing will continue to do those things. And I think this will help separate some players. The accuracy will become a little bit more important. Not overwhelmingly important, but a little more important. And I think that's a good step. And I also think this won't really affect 6, 7, 8 handicaps and up. Especially not till 2024, but I think it's a win-win-win all around.
I think it's a good rule. It's gonna, you know, like you said, it's gonna, you know, kind of dial it back for the pro game and make it a little bit more interesting. You know, you are going to be rewarded for being a little bit more accurate. Hopefully we'll get, you know, hopefully shot making kind of comes back. I mean, we see Tiger kind of set himself up for the next shot, whether he has to hit a cut or a draw or something, as opposed to just bombing it as far out there and then just hitting it to the green, you know. So right. Should be fun. I mean, I think it's a good step for the USGA, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
All right. On that note, that about does it for episode 96 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Check our show notes out online for links to all the stories we've talked about, including several links on the groove thing. I'll get you those. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzeski saying, V-grooves and flyer lies for life, baby.
Amen.